Hello and welcome to Linoleum Knife. Dave White is on assignment. Okay, not really. He's out of town. And I'm sure there's a way to do this from a remote location, but, you know, I only just recently figured out how to get this in both ears. So patience, people. However, I'm Alonzo Duraldi, incidentally, DVD editor for MovieLine.com, and we're very excited to have with us as the first guest host ever on Linoleum Knife, our dear friend Gray Drake, who is best known as the host of the Popcorn Mafia podcast. She's also Dave's She Said co-critic at movies.com. And she came over here on, you have no idea how super rainy it is today. And I know for most of the country, you're rolling your eyes and you're like, whatever. But no, when it rains in L.A., it's like Old Testament time.
It totally is.
Because it's super rainy and like everybody has no idea what to do. No one drives well in it. It's like Southerners on ice. Yeah. It's scary. So, so her being here is a very big deal, and we're thrilled. I'm thrilled that you are joining me today for the show.
Thank you. I mean, thank you very much. I'm going to do my best Dave White impersonation, which is really bad.
And he loves that, let me tell you, because everybody does it.
Because he has that voice.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And it's so good. And every time that you guys are on my show, like, I always get comments back. People are like, oh, that voice. I'm like, yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me.
It's like, you know, see, I'm easy for caricaturists, you know, because I got the glasses and the beard and everything, but he is easy for impressionists.
The voice. So it's like, You're the looks, he's the voice.
So something like that.
And together you are a power couple. I love you guys.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you here today. Or I keep saying we, like royally. I'm glad
you're
here
what?
Today.
They never go away. The we never goes away. It never does. I say we all the time.
It's true. I'm one of the we people.
Yeah, so it happens. And we are glad to be with you right now.
Mowage. on this week's show, we are talking about Paul, The Lincoln Lawyer, and Win-Win, which all opened this weekend.
Hooray.
So, Paul, I saw when I was in Austin for the South by Southwest.
Oh, how fancy. The coverage out there was really good.
Oh, thank you.
I felt like I was there.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. It was cool. I had the last time I went to South by Southwest, and I'm not going to call it South by, even though everybody does. I just think that's too precious. Was in 1989.
Damn.
Yeah, when it was just music. And it was just getting started because this year was the 25th. So I guess I was at one of the nascent South by Southwest. Hmm. So yeah, totally different thing. And like tons and tons and tons of online people. And, you know, it's a thing. It's a happening.
Yeah.
My only complaint was literally every screening I went to, somebody felt compelled to say, this is the coolest film festival in America.
No.
Which,
granted, do you think they were plants?
I don't know. But it's like, if you have to keep saying it, you're not that cool. You know, That's the thing. It's like, we need to get that on our own. No matter how many times you tell us, it's not going to make it true. I mean, it may well be, but not when you say it is.
I love Austin. I went to college there. And
really?
I did. I went to UT Austin.
Oh, look at
and
you.
I love South by Southwest. I say South by just because I'm a fan of brevity.
Yeah, no, my friend who lives in Austin says, look, in the weeks leading up to this thing, it saves us about a day and a half not saying that last word. So I get it.
And so I was really loved going. But Austin, as much as I love Austin, one of the cutest things that I always think about is how in love Austin is with itself.
No, yeah, that's true. San Francisco is kind of that way too.
Yeah, and they're similar. And Boulder, Colorado, which a lot of people parallel Austin to, they're like, oh, it's just the best little town. Oh, it's the greatest film festival ever.
Keep Austin weird.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, no problem.
Exactly.
Foreign exchange students that go to UT, no problems there. I just realized, by the way, that I am drinking amazing Earl Grey tea out of a Spice Girls mug.
Well, you know, I busted out for the special guests.
Oh, I love it.
It seemed too appropriate. So, and by the way, one of my favorite tidbits that I picked up at this festival. Do you know this guy Aaron Hillis out of New York?
I don't.
He does a blog for greenscene.com.
Oh, okay.
And he was very generously hosted me when I was there on my book tour. We did a screening of the Mexican Santa Claus at Rerun, which is this cool little space in Brooklyn that he curates and they screen films and da-da-da.
Cool.
And he admitted that he is a huge Spice World fan. So that was
he
just
told
a special
you, like, in confidence.
Bonding moment. Well, I just sort of threw it out in conversation. He was like, what? I love that movie. I was like, me too.
I just rewatched it
really?
At the beginning of 2011.
Nice.
And it is the first time I had seen it since the theater, and I liked it just as much. I just loved it.
It holds up. I mean, we saw it opening weekend, you know.
Yeah.
We were the only people in the theater over the age of 20 not escorting someone under the age of 14. our group, but it was, we had a blast. And then the New Art showed it as a midnight movie on my 40th birthday.
That's awesome.
So that was that kind of kismet I could not battle. So I made a lot of people go and we had a blast.
I just love them all. The only one who I have a different opinion about now is Sporty.
Really?
Yeah, she freaks me out now.
How come?
I don't know. It's like with all of her like high kicks and Madonna arms. It just doesn't, I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah, it's Victoria who kind of freaks me out a little.
And and in the movie, she's totally like way heavier than she is now.
Oh, I know, yeah. And,
but I mean, by way heavier, I mean like, a Victoria Beckham 15 pounds.
Exactly. She's what, 102 in that
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, she looks like a human being is what I mean to yes. say. And I was shocked, though, because I, you know, just being catty, eating my pizza with my friends, watching this movie, I was like, oh, what a heifer she was.
Well, we went to their reunion tour.
Ooh, really?
I've
seen them in concert too.
Oh, so much fun! Like, I'm not super into going to see live music. Like, my first job out of college was reviewing bands and writing about pop music, so I had to go to a lot of concerts by myself with people that I didn't care about. So now, I always have a very short list of people I would go see live, and one of them that was always at the top of the list was, well, if the Spice Girls ever reunite, and they did. So
they
we
heard
went.
You.
Yes, they
you
heard
have like a direct line.
My plea. So then, of course, the show was awesome, but what was hilarious was they each kind of had their solo moment, you know, where they would do like one of their own songs, except for Victoria, who just did like runway walking. Seriously. Like she couldn't sing alone, so she just sort of did some catwalk.
That's awesome.
Couture for us.
Because that's
know.
What she's good at.
That's exactly. She brought Looking it to the table. Good. You know,
I love it.
She knows where her strengths lie.
I took a boyfriend's younger sister to the Spice Girls concert the first time around.
Oh, nice.
And was just looking around me going, this is what it was like to see the Beatles.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's just
high-pitched like screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The girls like making noises that only dogs can hear and like all that. It was really amazing.
Well, you know, when we went and it was like down at Staples Center, we thought, oh, well, this is going to be like gay-o-rama. It wasn't. It was girls. It was like young girls and then like girls who were little girls when they were first popular, who are now like older teens and even like and moms and stuff. It was a lady fest, that thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm surprised that the gays were not represented.
Not in a big way, no. I mean we were scattered throughout, but it was very estrogen heavy, that event.
All right. Well, I'll buy that for a dollar.
So anyway, we've completely gotten off course here. Paul.
Paul. Speaking of aliens.
Yes.
I thought Paul was fun. It was like inoffensively fun.
Yeah, I laughed a lot, but I'm like the super target audience, and plus the fact that the reason that I brought up seeing it at Austin was because like that was the core of nerdo hipster audience that was going to totally eat this movie up. I mean, it's literally the film begins and ends at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, which is
Comic-Con in quotes. Because it's not really Comic-Con, is it?
Well, I mean, they call it Comic-Con. It's at the San Diego Convention Center. I don't know if they actually shot there. I think
that's
they did,
what I mean.
Actually.
Like, I feel like a couple, like the stage at the end. This is how I know I'm a real nerd.
Yeah, that's true. That was not Hall. That was not Hall 8. Excuse me very much.
I was like,
yes,
there's no stage there that looks like that. But you could tell it was definitely the exterior.
Yeah, definitely the outside. So I don't know, but the inside may.
We're so the target.
Totally, I know.
So were they loving it in Austin?
Yeah, eating it up with a spoon, basically. So the film stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, the co-stars of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and the TV show Spaced. Mm-hmm. And they wrote the film, and they basically play two geeky Brits who go to Comic-Con and decide to go on a tour of the nation's great UFO locations. And a funny thing happens on the way to Area 51. They meet an actual alien voiced by Seth Rogen. And they try to help him out along with the help of fundamentalist Christian Kristen Wiig, who has been stuck living in a trailer park for years and is starred for a grand adventure.
One eye also,
and one eye that works. And it's it's very funny, but it's very, very reference heavy. I mean, and I say this as somebody who adores Mystery Science Theater, so it's not like I'm averse to reference jokes, but man, that's the stock in trade here for the most part.
You could even tell when they were, you could always tell when they were referencing something, and on the few times that I didn't get it, I wrote it down so I could look it up later.
Google
because
it.
I didn't want to be left out. It made me mad.
You know, there was apparently they did this for Hot Fuzz on the DVD, which I haven't seen it, but I remember Did you ever see that movie, Free Enterprise?
No.
Came out in the late 90s.
It sounds like an economy movie. I don't like it.
No, it's about these two. It's sort of like Play It Again, Sam, but with William Shatner instead of Humphrey Bogart.
I completely changed my opinion.
Yeah,
then.
It's like these two sort of grown up geeky guys, and Shatner sort of comes into their lives and becomes kind of their guru in a way, or you know, their role model. It's a really funny movie, and the guys who did it are hardcore geeks. Like they were involved in like. I'm forgetting now what magazines, but Robert Mayer Burnett and blanking on the other guy's name. Anyway, really funny movie. You should totally see it.
Nice.
But they did a DVD where there was like a pop-up video track.
Oh.
Where little like footnotes would pop up on screen and tell you like what they're referencing and what this is a visual reference to and what they're making a joke about. And I'm sure Paul will have the same thing because, I mean.
It should.
If you don't know who Tweaky is or who, you know, like the name of the dog from the original Battlestar Galactica, you know, somebody will need to explain that to you. And I'm sure there's stuff I missed too, so.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. it's worth watching. I kind of walked out of this feeling like it was the perfect rental or cable movie.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anything wrong with it. I just didn't feel like it was as strong as their other works. And no. I wondered if that was because of the pairing of these writers like Nick Frost and Simon Pegg with Greg Mottola.
Maybe because yeah, it wasn't, and it's not as strong as Mottola's other films either. You know,
exactly.
He did Adventureland and Superbad and The Day Trippers and a lot of TV, like a lot of Arrested Developments, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not the best of anybody's stuff here, but it's
still
it's,
good.
Yeah, it's perfectly it's inoffensive and it's there are I laughed a lot
So I left going yeah. I left going like okay
yeah
that was a okay yeah. All right. So
like,
and then
because I actually when I saw it in Austin, it was they screened that and then right afterwards they did a sneak preview of Bridesmaids.
Oh, cool.
Which also stars Kristen Wiig and she co-wrote it with her like writing partner from Groundlings. And it was hysterically funny and we had a blast. And I think actually like Paul kind of paled in comparison, you know.
Yeah.
So go figure. But no, I would totally recommend it to people. And even if you aren't like a stone cold super nerd about sci-fi stuff, I think you'll still have fun. Like because I just reviewed this at the What the Flick show on YouTube, and Ben Mankiewicz was like, you know what, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I didn't get what was going. You know, I don't get most of these references, but I still had a good time.
So. I agree with him. Because I felt the same. I was like, oh no, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing the majority of this. I still am chuckling to myself. I thought Seth Rogen was really good as the voice.
He was, and I have not always liked him as a voice guy. Like like in Spiderwick Chronicles and Kung Fu Panda, I was kind of like,
What was he in Spiderwick Chronicles?
He's one of the little monster-y
That was
things.
Such a creepy movie.
That was an odd little film.
I really liked him in the Monsters vs. Aliens movie.
That's true. He was hilarious in that.
Yeah,
forgot.
He was like so perfect.
And yes.
I heard someone make the comment that they just didn't like the body that they put him in. They didn't like the little tiny skinny weird alien with that strange booming slubby voice.
Well, I think that was kind of the joke was that he wasn't like meep, meep, you know, that it was Seth Rogen, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that totally worked. And a lot of really fun people in it. Bill Hader and Jason Bateman and Blythe Danner. I love Blythe Danner.
I know. She was great in it. It's totally not suitable for kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
shockingly
yeah.
Shockingly so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very potty mouth, this movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, if E.T. swore and talked about his balls all the time. That's what this movie was.
Yeah, yeah. There's alien taint, I think, in this film.
But like it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, like even when they're like not as good, are still like awesome.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
So
sure,
it's,
sure.
It's still
like
a good movie.
I didn't adore Hot Fuzz. Like I thought it was a
I
good
didn't either.
20 minutes too long, but it's still there's so inventive. And I mean, give me their worst over like Adam Sandler's best any day.
True.
You know, in the as far as comedies go. So.
Oh, Adam Sandler. I'm still mentally punishing him for that. Just go for it.
Oh, God.
Wait,
just go with it.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care. I want to erase it from my brain.
I know.
I wish that Men in Black thing was real.
Yeah, or Eternal Sunshine. Oh, just to God. Take it out of my brain.
Horrible. So,
So moving on. The Lincoln Lawyer, starring Matthew McConaughey. Really? Are you down for the J.K. Livin'?
Yeah. Okay,
you
I'll
are
admit
so
it.
So the Oprah target audience.
I know. Well, look at my sweater. Yeah, of course
true.
I am.
I love when he goes on Oprah and talks about making his own skincare products. So, you know, like, oh man.
Hey man. Hey. I'm just a guy from Austin.
Exactly.
Man.
He generally speaking drives me up the wall. Like I don't think I've, except for like Tropic Thunder, I don't think I've liked him in anything since Dazed and Confused, his screen debut. But I really enjoyed him in Lincoln Lawyer.
I totally agree.
I had a great time. He plays a sort of shystery criminal defense attorney who works out of the back of his Lincoln Continental and gets involved in a tricky case involving millionaire Ryan Phillippe, who is accused of beating the crap out of a lady of the evening. And whether or not Phillippe is guilty begins to tie together some dangling loose ends from a previous case the McConaughey character had sort of rushed through to settlement. Really twisty and satisfying in an old-fashioned way, just as far as like just a good fun plot movie. Great character actors like throughout.
Yeah. It was like I thought that it hinged on every performer being completely believable in the role that they were in, because yeah. like if I'm looking at a playboy who's super rich who may or may not have tried to kill a prostitute, Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, he's your go-to.
For sure. Like, yeah. Loved it with his stupid little innocent eyes and his dumb little pug nose. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, his little underbite.
Yeah, the old Reese Witherspoon left me. You know, and I totally bought it. And I was walking into this movie, like, kind of ready to hate it.
Yeah,
like,
me
I was
too.
Cranky and I was mad.
I saw it at midnight.
Oh, okay. Well, that sucks.
But had a great time.
Yeah. I instantly, within the first 10 minutes, completely forgot how mad I was and saw it in Burbank. So for everybody who doesn't live around these parts, people that go to see movies in Burbank are generally like older folks, and they like a lot of women, you know, it's just not like there aren't a lot of teens or young people at all.
You go to a radio screening in Burbank sometime.
Oh God. And then like, and they're older, like seniors older. And so I was in the theater among all these people, like listening to people on their oxygen tanks and stuff
like
that.
Oh yeah, that's always fun.
And at the end, everyone clapped.
Wow.
Applause. Wow. I couldn't believe it. I was really, everybody was
in a commercial theater. That's yeah.
They were bonkers about this movie. Yeah. Ladies were talking in the bathroom. There were three old ladies and they were, oh, well, I just love that book. And they just did such a good job.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've never read a Michael Connelly novel, but apparently he's real popular. And this was a really fun, it's a fun time. I mean, like, and just interesting things like he, you know, his ex-wife is played by Marissa Tomei, but it's not the usual like harpy ex-wife you get in these kind of movies.
Yep.
Like they obviously still have a thing for each other and there's still a spark there, and they are both raising their kid and they're not being like shitty to each other about it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're making it work.
A lot of drinking in this movie. Do you notice? All the lawyers and the cops go out and just get like hammered every night.
I wanted whiskey the whole time I was watching this. Was like, ugh, I'm parched. This water is horrible. And like,
Burbank doesn't serve.
Fucking tight asses over there. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. You don't swear on this podcast.
It's okay.
My fault. Just believe it. I loved their relationship together. I loved McConaughey. I thought it was the best use of him.
Yes.
Because he was that character from Dazed and Confused. But at the same time, he's a smart lawyer.
Right.
Which I also bought. Like,
he was articulate. He was, he was a crafty guy. The one, and we talked about this on What the Flick, the one sort of transition that I had a hard time with was when the plot reels start clicking into place, he goes from like snappy Matthew McConaughey to like haunted, haggard, oh, what have I done guy in like 0.2 seconds. Like there's like a scene missing there, I think, where we get a transition to that. Cause like he goes to San Quentin and there's that whole intense scene with the guy who was his previous client and da da da. And clearly like, you know, it's a quick transition.
I agree with that. I was really surprised by the way that the movie went down. I didn't think that it was very predictable because
I spent
the whole movie trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I liked the fact that I felt like I was solving this crime with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just something that was really relatable about the writing.
Yeah.
And it was written by a dude who does a lot of TV stuff like Hill Street Blues.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't know. And I was like, okay, well, that's where that comes from because those are about the people's relationships
together.
The little
plot points. Yeah, totally.
And
also the whole thing with solving the just how they keep kind of sneaking endings on you, like just when you think it's all over, oh no, something else is gonna happen, like okay, oh what, that's gonna, you know, like it just, they keep upping the ante in the last half hour and you're like, whoa, this is okay.
The last thing that I thought I would do when I went into this movie was I never thought that I would talk to it. And I was absolutely doing that at the end. No. Like, it was just me going, oh, no, girl, uh-uh. And, like, it was a lawyer movie. Did you see A Time to Kill? Isn't that the other one he did?
Yeah, I didn't see that one ever.
No, I've heard people make the comparison that this is just the same movie. No, so maybe. I want to actually go rent that one because okay. Well, I didn't see it. Because why the hell would I see Matthew McConaughey as a lawyer?
Yeah, in a Joel Schumacher, John Grisham movie. Yeah, yeah, I did not go see it. So, okay, well, if you rent it, let me know.
I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, apparently, I remember somebody at the time made the joke that like Matthew McConaughey in this movie, in A Time to Kill, gets filmed like Ava Gardner in her prime. Like Schumacher's camera is so kind to her. We have, hello caller, Dave White is with us. And we're Gray Drake is here, and we are taping popcorn. We're taping. What show am I on? Linoleum Knife.
Hi, Dave.
I've been usurped.
Well, you know, you snooze, you lose. What can I tell you?
This is a tough town, Dave.
Yeah, she totally Eve Harrington'd you.
I will kill her.
What a delicious death it will be.
Did I accidentally seriously call in the middle of this thing?
You did actually, yes.
Am I actually going to be in it?
Yeah, you're on speaker.
This
is
happening.
You're going into
I'm
the microphone.
On speaker right now.
Yeah, you're going into the microphone and everything.
All right. Well then, goodbye.
You want to share anything about the Lincoln Lawyer? That's what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, that's the least margarine oily Matthew McConaughey movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
Now,
anyone else so far used the expression margarine oily?
No, I used oleaginous when I reviewed Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, though.
People are starting to tell us that we're sounding like we're using the same words and sounding alike and things.
Well,
like,
you know what? We live together. It happens.
Yes, we're yes-anding each other a lot as well.
Oh, I often feel like my time spent with you guys is just like a big hour of improv. Like, you're the best improv team ever.
Well, I'll have to use some different words to describe Matthew McConaughey.
Fair enough.
Not terrible in this movie.
Yeah, and
you saw it, and I didn't see it with you. I don't even know what you think.
I had a great time.
And will it be backtracking for you to tell me right now on the phone?
No, in a nutshell, obviously you haven't watched my What the Flick clip yet. I had a good time. I really enjoyed it, and I thought he was well cast.
I watched it with the sound down because I was in a loud environment.
Well, there's no subtitles.
I have critiques for your hair and outfit.
Oh, great!
Later.
Now
I'll get home from Texas.
You actually saw like Surfer Dude or whatever that movie was, right?
What?
Didn't you have to review it?
I don't remember.
They all blur together.
Ugh.
That movie that he made like $20,000 or something crazy.
Oh yeah, no.
All of his movies are called Surfer Dude, aren't they?
More or less.
Well, Dave and I kept saying whenever we see the poster with the NT Guilty license plate, we'd always go NT Guilty because it's like that JK living, you know. But yeah, no, it's fun. It's a good movie.
Back.
I can't believe you. I know. I didn't know this was behind your back.
I told him that I was going to have a guest in. It was originally going to be Jen Yamato, but she had a junket to cover today. So
yes, I loved
in a Xanax haze, and it was 2 hours before my flight to Dallas.
This is true.
I have firmly established myself as a young lady who will go anywhere that Jen Yamato is too busy to go to.
Well, we all have our niche in this life. Well, we already talked about Paul, but we can now segue to Win-Win.
It was okay.
Yeah, okay. I really enjoyed it.
Here's where you and I could get to disagreeing, because
okay.
I am not a fan of this director. I think he's too pat, and I think the only thing keeping him from big Hollywood movies is his lack of ability to gather up a budget for his movies.
I'm not going to entirely disagree with that, but I like him better than you do. I didn't care for The Visitor much. That was such a, like...
That was not a good movie.
Yeah, that was such a magical Negro movie as far as,
and
like...
I say that in the full knowledge that people we know and like and who are friends of us are part of the production company.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who? I didn't know that. But I really like The Station Agent. Oh, that's right. I forgot Participant was his thing. Okay. Well, I caught half an hour of The Station Agent on IFC yesterday, and it reminded me, like, I really like that movie a lot, and I really like this one, too. I mean, yeah, he's not stylistically daring. He makes...
At all.
He makes very sort of like warm and he makes warm and fuzzy movies, but I think he makes smart warm and fuzzy movies, and I think those are harder to do well than one might think.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy that this exists. It's not a bad movie. I liked it more than I disliked it. But I'm just annoyed that this is the best that we can get from, you know, Indie Wood.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
Hey, guess what?
What?
There's lasagna waiting for me right now. You'll go talk about win-win on your own.
Okay, fine.
Bye, Dave.
Talk to you later.
I'll see you later about this great race.
We will meet again.
This isn't over.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Lordy.
I actually liked Win-Win.
Me too.
And the reason that, now Dave's point about it being too pat, I think, is really interesting, because I would agree with that, but I don't mind it.
Well, and at the same time, I think also that that's not entirely fair, because you have a lead character who does some not despicable, but some not good things, and gets called on it and has to kind of face up to them. The movie doesn't gloss it over, and the movie doesn't let him off the hook too easily.
I like the fact that the movie was so uncomfortable and realistic.
Yeah.
Because in that particular instance, like, Paul Giamatti gets called out on doing something awful, and then it's just his wife, Amy Ryan. Amazing, I thought, in this movie. Yes,
and Giamatti's great, too.
Yeah, like, them against each other, she's kind of silent and grousing and a little disappointed and doesn't know how to deal with it, up against him, who just feels horrible and doesn't know how to fix anything, and he's in charge. And
yeah, and, like, she, on the one hand, you can tell she sort of wants to be comforting, but on the other hand, she's mad. Like, she can't believe he did this thing, so... And the kid, Alex Sinclair, is that
Alex Schaefer?
Schaefer, maybe. Anyway, the kid who plays the wrestling kid in this movie is dynamite.
Yeah.
Unknown kid, first acting job, so, like, naturalistic and believable and empathetic and just a great performance.
Interesting character that he created, and I want to see him in something else.
Sure, yeah.
Because I suspect this may just be who he is.
Could be.
And that might have been why it was so great. Because he's, like, kind of monotone and, like, deadpans at everybody. And
but, you know, it could be one of those things where, like, you know, they do this in Europe and Asia a lot, where they don't cast actors in a movie. They cast people who are just right for the story. Mm-hmm. And even if you never see them in a movie again, they were so amazing in that one film, you know.
Yeah. And I definitely thought that I'm always really impressed with kids that age that can hold their own against the likes of Paul Gia fucking Motti.
Totally, yeah.
Excuse me for the swearing again, but come on.
He earned it.
And, like...
You know, and Bobby Cannavale and Jeffrey Tambor and from Melanie Lynskey.
Yes.
I mean, such a great... Burt Young.
Yeah, Burt Young.
Thought he was dead.
I was kind of like, you know. Oh, it's Burt Young.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. I thought everyone here, it was so real to me that it reminded me of my family in a way. And like, I love watching movies about families. That's like my favorite thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's infinite stories to tell.
Well, yeah, you know, this is what I wish that movies on the Hallmark Channel were like.
Yeah, totally. And every once in a blue moon they are. Like, there's a network that's all Hallmark Channel movies. Put in your TiVo. They did a film called The Blackwater Lightship. It's based on a novel by an Irish novel by this guy named Colm Tóibín, and it's about
what a name.
It's about a gay guy. It's about a gay guy with AIDS, but it's not really. It's really about his sister, his mother, and his grandmother, and about their relationship and just the generations of the family and who was there for the other, who was there and who wasn't there, and who kept secrets and who didn't and all that kind of stuff. And it, you know, the grandmother is like Angela Lansbury and the mother is Diane Wiest and the sister is this awesome Irish actress whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Not Samantha Morton.
But somebody of that school, you know.
Right.
And anyway, dynamite movie, and it does actually pop up occasionally and it's super good. So
wow. And that's a Hallmark movie?
It's a Hallmark movie, yeah. So
I am really used to seeing Hallmark movies when I'm home in Denver with my parents who watch that like pretty much 24/7. So it's like I've seen the Steve Guttenberg Santa Claus movie like 7 times.
Oh my God. In December, because when I was researching Christmas movies one of the reasons I didn't do a lot of TV movies was because there are so many Hallmark and Lifetime movies with like Marky Post and, right. Anybody who was ever on like Northern Exposure, you know, it's just too much. I can't keep up.
Then the goot. Then there's always the goot.
There is always the goot.
Yeah, we come back to the goot every single time. But I want more people to see Win-Win. Paul Giamatti, like, he takes a lot of chances. I just love the way he picks roles.
He's one of my favorite actors right now.
God, he's so great.
Him and Philip Seymour Hoffman, probably.
He can do anything. Yeah. And it just, I love the idea of him sitting down and picking all these kinds of roles to do. I just want to be a fly on that wall.
You got to figure, he's probably not getting offered, like, you know, Mission Impossible 4.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe as the villain, but not as the hero, certainly, you know. So I think because he's so clearly in the area of not being standard leading man guy, by definition, he probably gets to see the more interesting performances because he doesn't have to be, you know, Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. He gets to play the you know, off-center kind of stuff.
And, yeah.
And yeah, he's amazing. I will watch him in pretty much anything.
Absolutely. He could, I'd go clean his toilets.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but.
I would.
He's the man.
For me. Okay. I'd even bring my own supplies.
Fair enough. We all have our lines. Well, honey, we have done a show.
Yay,
This is half an hour. Thank you so much. Folks, if you are a fan of Linoleum Knife and you are not listening to the Popcorn Mafia, good Lord, what are you waiting for? So go to popcornmafia.com or download it on iTunes. Gray does a great show every week, and I've been lucky enough to be on a couple times. And, you know, one of our big inspirations for doing this, in fact, the equipment that we're using today is her old setup. And so we very much appreciate that.
Happy to support. You guys are the best.
Oh, well, thanks. And then just a quick shout out to some of our other friends out there in podcast land. The Comedy Couch with Dennis Hensley and Tony Tripoli. Yay! Always hilarious, always revelatory.
Funniest guys in SoCal.
They are hysterical. And Malcolm Ingram's Blowhard. He has been up in Toronto for a while doing the shows from up there with his mom, and they are a riot.
Woo!
And
dicks!
Now, and your friend Fozzie, what is his actual show?
The Podcast Podcast.
Okay.
Fozzie Bear. He's a podcast lover, and it inspired him to start a show about podcasts.
So he interviews other podcasts.
Yeah, that's greatest. Brilliant. And he's a good friend of the mafia, and he's such a talented, funny gentleman. I want to put kisses on his face.
He's a hoot on your show, and he gives good Twitter too. So
ooh, he really does.
Yes.
Yes. Affirmative.
So thank you all for listening. You can always drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow our Twitter feed that I've actually not been on lately, but we'll get on it. And it is linoleumcast at Twitter. Yay. And, you know, when Dave White gets back and we can take a decent picture to go on it, I am going to start a Facebook fan page. I promise.
Oh, good. Yes.
I need to do that. I've been slack.
Should I be concerned that he wants me dead now?
No. Nah.
Okay.
Please. He's like, getting him to do this half the time is like pulling teeth, so he can't begin to complain about
it. I'll just bring him some tea.
There you go.
That should smooth everything over.
Totally.
Yeah.
No question.
We're good.
All right. Well, until next time, kiddos, thank you for joining us, and have a good week.
Bye.